Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, Rangers of the Dork Forest. It's me, Jackie Cation, and you are listening to the Dork Forest. You can go to the websites, JackieCation.com and DorkForest.com. JackieCation.com has DorkForest.com. It has the audio links. It has the video links to my YouTube. It has all of my dates for stand-up comedy. It has all the merch. It's got Dork Forest merch and stand-up merch and all of my CDs and DVDs if you have those devices. Other things you can do, Bandcamp. There's a Bandcamp with the very old episodes. Some of them are free. And then there's a storytelling album that you can get on my Bandcamp. And I'm on Pandora and Spotify. It is 2025, and feel free to start donating to the Dork Forest. Yeah, cost me about 10 grand a year to put this up. If everybody donated $100 every year, if everybody just handed me $100 every time they saw me, or PayPal, Venmo, then I would have, I think, about 10 grand. I don't know, but I would have enough money to run this and probably buy myself lunch. And I'm a big fan of doing the show. I'll do it anyway. But if you have $100, send me $100. If you have $2, send me $2. You can do it monthly on PayPal. There's buttons all over my website. And my Venmo is just my name. No hyphen, Jackie Cation. I'm wearing a red shirt. Let's get into the show. Hey, it's me, Jackie Cation. I have a glow about me. Why do I have a glow about me? But I do. And today's guest, first podcast ever. This is the second or third one of the year. Persons who have never been on a podcast before. And let me tell you about the glamour that it is. There's no reason to not go, oh, okay. It's just like a conversation. Because you can swear and you can do whatever you want. Bobby Sims, friend of the people, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So he's got a Twitch and he's got an Instagram, and I'm sure any number of things, but the Twitch and Instagram are under Conviction, Conviction, at.
Yes.
And they'll be in the notes. And your what you decided that you might enjoy telling me about is a game I've never played. Called Assassin's Creed.
Oh, yes.
Video game, right? Not tabletop, not RPG.
Nope. Completely virtual. There are console. Yep, completely virtual. There are console and mobile games. I actually think that they do have a card game as well.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I've never played the card game.
Is it, what was the first one on? Who made the first one? Do you remember?
So Ubisoft, or Ubisoft, I always pronounce it as Ubisoft. They've created the entire series. There are about 13 games altogether. It started on the Xbox 360.
Oh, wow. Okay. We had one of those, if I remember correctly. Okay. So that was, and so that had to be at least 20 years ago, right?
It hurts. It hurts to hear that, because I don't feel like I'm that old, you know?
Right. But so if it's on the Xbox 360, is it multiplayer yet, or is it just...
No. So the first Assassin's Creed, all the way up until, I want to say, the sixth or seventh game in the series, was single player only.
Okay.
They started with multiplayer on the game called Unity, and to be completely honest, the multiplayer was buggy as hell.
There you go.
People were falling through the world, and it was not great. But they have made it better. Yeah, they've made changes. So the games that still have the multiplayer are actually pretty good, and it's kind of like I think it's usually like a 4v4 or a 5v5 where you have to hunt the other team. But because everyone's assassins, you can use camouflage and blend in with the crowds. So you really have to pay attention to, like, body language.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Wait a minute. So, okay, we're going to get to the blending in with the crowds. Because I don't, whenever I think of assassins, I think of a sniper on a hill or a drone. So I don't often think of assassins blending in dissolving into the, I mean, it makes sense, of course. I think that Winter Soldier or Captain America and Winter Soldier and Black Widow. Yeah, like those ones, there's a couple of TV shows, if I remember correctly, that Captain America Winter Soldier TV show, there was constantly assassins that were blending into giant crowds of people in keffiyehs. Anyway, so talk to me about the first Assassin's Creed, if it was just a solo single player.
Sure. So the first Assassin's Creed actually takes place in essentially the Middle East, like around like Jerusalem, I want to say. You play as an assassin called Altair Ibn al-Ahad.
Okay.
Ridiculously surprised that I still remember that game or the name.
Right. That is character. A very specific name.
It stood out. But essentially you're running around and you're part of this order called the Order of Assassins.
Okay.
All of them have like wear these giant white cloaks with like hoods that have like a point to them. It looks like an eagle's beak because their icon is the eagle. And they're waging like an eternal war with the Templars, who in this portion are crusaders.
I saw Indiana Jones. Wait, yeah. So the Templars are the ones that were charged with protecting like the Holy Grail or something.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
But instead of the Holy Grail in Assassin's Creed, they're called the Artifacts of Eden, which there's a lot of backstory.
Oh my god, that's hilarious. Adam and Eve? Like Adam and Eve, Garden of Eden?
Yep. Yep.
Plastics back. It's amazing that there's something that still exists from... Okay. Well, it's a video game. Yeah.
Giant golden ball of some kind.
Okay.
Named the Apple of Eden, which is like the main artifact in the first game.
Okay.
I don't know if it was gold or brass, to be honest, but
right.
But essentially, it's the whole premise of the story is that there's a faction called the Assassins Order, and then the faction the Knights Templar. They both want pretty much the same end goal, which is world peace. However, the Assassins want world peace through anarchy, so they want to take the Apple of Eden and either destroy it or hide it so nobody can use it. Because the Apple of Eden is, it's capable of mind control. So whoever holds the apple can bend the will of anyone and everyone around
them. All right.
The Templars also want world peace, but they want it through total control.
Oh, wow. So neither of them are really the good guy.
No, there's no such thing as a good guy or a bad guy in the story, which... which really kind of helps play out in the later games because
it's got to free up for gameplay too.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of does. You just stab anyone you want. but the main, so that actually brings up a couple of the main weapons because this is in like ancient medieval times. There are no guns. There's not even like bow and arrows or anything like that. What you have is a hidden blade that's attached to your wrist. That pretty much retracts and extends out with like by the character just kind of going like that.
Yep.
There's a small caveat. It's almost always on the left hand, but because of the way the blade extends out, every assassin is missing their ring finger.
Ha.
So they're like this pretty much
right.
Because the blade comes out right here. And yeah, you essentially have to blend in with crowds and you
That's
sit on
crazy.
Benches and eavesdrop and sneak up behind people, and then you just take your four-fingered hand and just the blade right into their neck. And then,
well, okay, so the game is literally you just sneaking around trying to get up close to Templars.
For the most part, okay. It's sneaking.
But you're
around
also looking for the apple too, right?
Yes, yes. So you're looking for the Apple of Eden. You're eavesdropping on conversations. You're pickpocketing people for information and for money.
Okay.
Because again, there's no such thing as a good guy in this.
right.
And you also end up having like targets, certain targets that you need to take out to help expand the order. And that's essentially the first game.
Oh, okay. So, all right. So an example of, like, you know, like in Legend of Zelda, you wake up mm-hmm. and you have to wander around and rip up shrubbery until you find a sword. How do you, until somebody hands you a sword, so you're born into this world and as an assassin, you, there's no training.
Yes.
You are. Yeah, well, probably.
There's a tutorial, but.
Right. There's a tutorial. They're like, you are new. You have to know how to, you have to learn how to do this. Okay.
Yes. But yes, when you take care, when you take control of Altair, he's already an established assassin. But because of what happens in a tutorial, you end up getting demoted down to like the very lowest rank and you have to build your way back up again, which is
okay.
How the progression works in the game for characters. So you first start out with a sword. You don't get the hidden blade right away.
Okay.
You have to start out with a sword. And you get like throwing knives and you pretty much have to fight through that way to until you can eventually work up the rank to earn your hidden blade again.
Okay. I see. Cause you are given the hidden blade, as a reward for something, possibly the top of your finger. And, so if you're sneaking around, how's the writing on the first game?
Honestly, the writing is pretty good. The story is very, it's intriguing. There's a lot of detail. The characters are fun. It's written really, really well. The main problem that we had with, or I say that we, that I had with the first video game is that it's extremely repetitive because there's only three side missions. There's eavesdrop, pickpocket, and like the other one, you just follow someone. So like, you have to, for the lack of a better term, stalk them through the crowd until they get to where they need to be, and then you kill them. But you have to get to the location first. So it gets a little old after a while.
Because you have to do that over and over and over again. Because like the sixth time you do it or whatever, you eventually get to where the apple is being kept.
No, so you have to essentially. So there's the main portion of the game where you're hunting the leader of the Templars in your area. And then to get to the leader of the Templars, you have to find all of like his lieutenants and his captains and stuff like that.
Okay.
So you have to follow certain people to camps where the captains are. You have to pickpocket people for information on where the lieutenants and captains are. You'll see like foot patrols of Templars just running, roaming around the city that you can kind of take out or pickpocket or sometimes bribe, depending on how they are. So it's a lot of
that actually sounds really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. You play so much more like a spy than an assassin in this game.
Yeah.
A lot of times because there is a lot of intel gathering, but you still get to stab people in the neck with a hidden blade. It still takes it away from a spy, you know?
Right, right, right. You're spying, and then you're assassinating. And so how, I mean, was the game pretty easy or was it pretty hard? Like, is it 72 hours? Is it one day?
It's more than one day, especially if you are like I am, and aka a completionist. If there's a collectible in the game, I need to collect it before I finish the game.
You will wander back. And,
oh, yeah.
All right. It's okay. So that's that's Assassin's One.
Yes.
And so you get the apple, one imagines. What's the victory screen like? I'm always curious what the victory screen is. Any idea?
So, yeah. So the fun part about Assassin's Creed, the first game up until the game labeled Assassin's Creed 3, which is actually, if I remember correctly, the fifth game. It not confusing at all.
But, and who cares? You're like, have I read this? No, I have not. I'm gonna play this game. Yeah.
So there's a whole overarching backstory or meta story, I guess is the best way to say it.
Sure.
That's over top of just playing as an assassin. So the meta story is that you're actually in present day and you play this guy named Desmond Miles. Desmond Miles has been kidnapped in the first game by a company called Abstergo and put in a machine called an Animus, where that so that he can relive his ancestors' memories, because they're trying to find the artifacts of Eden in present day.
Oh, so you again don't know that
when you're first put into the game. You're put into the game and you're somehow Altair and you're going around killing people. And then at a certain part in the game, you get pulled out of the machine and you are now Desmond in present time. So the whole overarching story is that you are Desmond, a guy who has been essentially raised in like a convent kind of, and you've been kidnapped by this company and you're trying to get away. And then later on throughout the games, you become more of a full-fledged assassin and all of this fun stuff. But there is there's a side effect of using the Animus called memory leak, where your memories and the memories of your ancestors start blending together. And Desmond starts hallucinating in real life because he starts seeing like Knights Templars and like other enemies all around him when there's nobody there. But he does get the abilities of his ancestors as well. So all of a sudden, he's a parkour master and he knows how to assassinate people in 38 different ways.
Right. Okay, so is there one of the things about Assassin's Creed that it sounds like is that do you have to is it timing and jumping in the game, or is, you know, you ever play Prince of Persia? That's the only game I've got as a reference right now.
Oh, yeah. Yes. it's very similar, actually.
Okay. So it has that sort of, you have to time things and get the joystick to do the right combinations so that you can bounce off of walls and catch onto things. And okay.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds really cool, because you're chasing people and. Okay.
Yeah, it's great. It actually, Prince of Persia was made by Ubisoft as well, and it came out about a year before Assassin's Creed. So a lot of the parkour mechanics in Prince of Persia actually resurface in Assassin's Creed.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting. That makes sense, actually, obviously. Because then they can just reskin it with a different storyline, and our lives are that much better. Because the Prince of Persia thing looked, I wasn't any good at it, but I did like doing it. I was sad when I died, but it was fun to try. So that's the third game, but it's really the fifth game. So what are the in between three games?
Yep. Four games. So it's fun. The Assassin's Creed 2, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, and Assassin's Creed Revelation are all their own specific trilogy.
Okay.
You're still Desmond in present day, but instead of being in Israel, you're in Italy. You're in like Florence and Venice and a few other places.
The Da Vinci Code.
Exactly.
Is it?
Da Vinci actually, he makes an appearance in the games as well, actually.
Yes.
So it's a fun little callback, because you in Brotherhood and Revelations, you actually use Da Vinci's flying machine.
Awesome. Why wouldn't you?
It's really cool. Exactly.
Someone had to build it, but not Da Vinci. He wasn't good with a hammer. Wasn't he also a sculptor? He could do anything, right? Wasn't he everything? I think Da Vinci was everything. He was a triple threat. So, exactly. So you've played all of these as well, I'm sure.
Yes, I've played every game. Well, I've completed, I should say, every game up until Assassin's Creed Origins, which is like number nine or 10, something like
that. Okay. Yeah.
Big fan.
And do they have replayability? How's the replayability?
Oh,
the
they
first
do.
First one sounds maybe a little repetitive. So yeah.
Yeah. The first one, not so much. The second one, the storyline, the second, third, and fourth one. So the Ezio collection is what it's called, because you play as an assassin called Ezio Auditore di Firenze.
Nice.
Something like that. It's close. I think I might have juxtapose two letters in the name. But it's called the Ezio Collection because this Assassin's Creed 2 is when Ezio's not in the Assassin Order at all. He's just like a punk teenager who belongs to like a noble family.
Okay.
But his uncle and his father are actually in the Assassin Order. When his father gets executed, his father and his brothers get executed for trumped up crimes. He falls into the Assassin's Order in number two. So number two is like his coming up in the Assassin's Order. Brotherhood is him taking the idea of the Assassin's Order and building his own order in Italy. So you start recruiting other people and like training them as assassins, and then you can send them on missions to assassinate people. So you become more of like a mafia boss in the second Brotherhood. And then in Revelations, you're Ezio as a master assassin, and you end up going to Istanbul to not only assist with another order of assassins, but to also kind of learn other ways and find out more information about assassins that came before you, such as Altair. So it ties back.
Just kind of full circle, just to tie back into itself. What's the currency? What's the money like in the game?
So the currency, so it's fun. It's a lot of fun because I do enjoy history as well. And aside from, you know, the very obvious historical creativities that the games have taken, a lot of the information that is there is historically accurate. So in Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood, you're using florins, which was the main currency in Italy at the time.
That's right.
I don't remember what the currency was called in the first one, but it was also time appropriate.
Well, I'm wondering, what are you buying? Like the currency in the game, like what are you buying upgrades?
So you're buying upgrades, especially in Assassin's, well, in all of them, but especially in Assassin's Creed 2, you can buy different upgrades for your outfit. So you can add additional armor, you can upgrade your greaves, your pauldrons, you know, your hidden blade.
Greaves, pauldrons, what are these? I'm not familiar with these weapons. Are they weapons?
No, they're armor pieces. So greaves, pauldrons, and like...
Oh, greaves are on the arms, and cauldrons are on the shoulders? Okay.
Yeah, pauldrons are protect your shoulders and your...
the back of your
shoulder
neck?
Blades.
Okay.
Yeah, so they kind of just sit. It sits like right here. They look like shoulder pads for football players.
Oh, right. Now I know what you mean. As soon as you said it goes all the way around, like, okay, yep. So you could upgrade those to make them just more resilient or tougher.
Mm-hmm. You can also, in Assassin's Creed 2, you can upgrade your hidden blade. Because you're friends with the world-renowned Leonardo da Vinci, you are able to not only get more, what are they called, ranged weapons.
Okay.
So, like, there is not necessarily a gun, but a projectile that you can fire from your hidden blade that shoots a ball bearing hard enough to kill someone. So it's
that
a gun,
like a
but
gun.
It's not a it's not
like a, it's more not of a slingshot. Gun. Yes.
Yeah, a little bit. Just a gunpowder powered slingshot.
Fast enough to actually pass through the skin and murder the bad guy, or in this case, the other guy.
Exactly. you can also buy like consumables and different weapons, like little smoke bombs, poison darts, different things like that.
Okay. And how are you getting the money? Is it all pickpocket?
Honestly, when I played, quite a lot of it was pickpocketing. Anytime I was walking in a crowd, I was just kind of taking as much as I could.
If that's the option, that's what they want you to do in the game. If they've created that, if they've created that dynamic, that is what the game is teaching you.
Exactly. Steal as much as you can. And then
is there another way to make money, or?
Yes. So you can complete assassin contracts to kill certain people. And when you do that, you get paid. You also can loot the bodies of the people that you kill to also get money. Again, probably the second largest way that I made money in that game. you can also sell different items that you can collect. There'll be like, you know, animal skins and pelts and stuff like that. Okay. That you can take and then sell. And also in the Ezio collection, your mother and your sister flee your hometown with you. And then they just go to, I believe it's Venice, or it could be Florence. It's one of those where like your main base of operations is. And they end up running your household and all of your small businesses.
Okay.
One of them being an opium den, and the other one is you manage all of the courtesans in the city. So
and a brothel. Well, good for you. So
very quickly in this game.
It's a right. All of a sudden, you're a drug dealer and a pimp. So this is not. Is it one of those? Like, what's the maturity rating on this game?
Oh, they're M. They're all rated
okay.
M.
they're rated M. Okay, and so, but when you first started playing this game, you were not rated M. You were not an M.
I don't think I've ever been an M.
I think you were a T. Were you a T? Were you a teen?
I was.
Or
I was
you and everybody. You might have been an everybody.
I was a YA, I would say. I was a young adult at the time.
All right. I'm not saying inside. I'm saying outside. Were you like 11?
Because no, I always know.
Because it feels like a lot for an 11-year-old. I remember my nephew was about 12 or 13 and he wanted to play Diablo. And and my brother and sister-in-law were like, I don't think so. I don't think this is the one for you. And he's like, but it looks exactly like the one for me. It looks exactly like the one that I want to play. And I was like, too creepy. Anyway, so yeah, they're all M. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Is it one of those games like Portal where Fallout where you learn, like you could every time you play it, if you make different decisions, different things happen? Or is it more straightforward?
No, it's definitely more straightforward.
Okay.
Some of the games later on, like Assassin's Creed Syndicate, Unity Origins, and later, they have a little bit more of like that choice-based like control over the world. But for the first probably seven or eight games, there wasn't anything like that.
Right. It's just very basic. Here's your backstory. Here's your current tasks. Go out, do them to the most. Do you end up doing all of the contracts? Are you that kind of completist?
Yeah. Oh yeah, everything, 100% perfectionist in a completion. the first one literally had you out there collecting flags on like some of the farthest parts of the map, and I'm just sitting there on a horse, nothing else to do, just going to get this one flag.
Where'd you get the horse?
Stole the horse. Yeah.
Stole the horse. Exactly.
Stole the horse from the stable.
Are there any women characters besides, I assume, the brothel workers?
Yes. Aside from the brothel workers and like Ezio's family in the Ezio collection, there are actually a few games that where you can play as a female assassin.
Okay. Cool.
So there's a mobile game called Assassin's Creed Liberation, where you play as an assassin in the French Quarter.
In New Orleans?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, weird. And it's the mobile version?
Mm-hmm.
What's it called?
I think they're Assassin's Creed Liberation.
Liberation, okay.
And I believe that they did do a port of this to the console as well.
Okay.
And then the newest one, excuse me, the newest one called Assassin's Creed Shadows, this one honestly is one that the concept of it is what people have waited for a very long time, because it's set in Japan. So you're not only an assassin, you're kind of like a half ninja, half samurai, you know,
blend it all together. Get all the shogun, and well, I mean, clearly when they went to Italy, they were getting the mafia involved, and now they're going to Japan, and they're going to have ninjas and samurai.
Exactly.
And so you can't just introduce Japan into the plot, and not all of a sudden it's the Karate Kid. You got to do it. So exactly. Have you played that one?
I have not played Shadows. Shadows just came out like recently. There's a lot of controversy around it because a lot of people don't like that the developers have brought in Yasuke. And Yasuke, this is a complete tangent. Yasuke is an historical accurate character from feudal era Japan, and he is black. He's an African character who was sold. Again, this is historically accurate. He's
historically an actual slave.
Yes, he was an actual freed slave that ended up in Japan, and he became a. I forget the title. I think it's controller. He became a controller for a for the shogun, or for
Comptroller, I believe, is some sort of accountant of some sort. Some sort of numbers dude. Okay.
He became a comptroller and a vassal, I think it was. So he was never actually a samurai, but he essentially wore all of the samurai garb. He was taught how to fight with a sword because he was also considered a bodyguard. And he is in Assassin's Creed Shadows. They took a little bit of liberty and made him a samurai, even though he wasn't. And people lost their shit about that.
Right, because turns out racism. But you know what's weird is I just saw on, I think it was on Blue Sky, where somebody said it was a clip where the guy was doing a walkthrough. It must have been Twitch or something, of a Twitch or YouTube of him talking through the game, and it must have been that game because there was a black samurai guy showed up, and the guy stops. He goes, all right, I'm looking at the comments and I'm going to block all of you motherfuckers because I don't need you. It's a fucking game and you're a racist piece of shit. And he went off on this thing and he's like, if you can't handle this, this doesn't have anything to do with you. Don't play the game. Yeah. So, okay. So that's the new one. And it's, and can you play as that guy?
Yes, so you can play as both Yasuke and I don't remember the female character's name.
Who is not historically accurate, but was included because girls would like to play two, please. And they clearly could find a black character in historically accurate, but they couldn't find some badass woman.
Which is
that
strange.
She existed, but they just don't know her name.
It's possible, just like me, not knowing her name.
the actual character's name in the game. Yes.
But there are, sorry, to circle back to the question about other female characters. Assassin's Creed Odyssey and Valhalla, which are the two games that came out right before Shadows. Mm-hmm. They actually have more of like a build your own character kind of thing, where you can choose to be either male or female. And then there's Syndicate, where you play as twins, Jacob and Evie Fry. So you can switch back and forth between a male and female there as well.
Right, right. Not identical, you guys. That's an old joke from a twin that I know who said, my sister and I are not identical twins. Her penis is bigger. So that's just it. John Bush, you guys, look him up. He's very funny. Okay, so well, that's cool. So the characters that is the original guy from the original game still available in the current iterations of the game?
No. So Altair had one console game and then I think two mobile games. And then you don't play as Altair ever again. In Assassin's Creed 2, Brotherhood and Revelations, you play as Ezio, and then after that, you don't play as Ezio again. So each assassin has its own game or series of games before they move on. And the main character of Desmond is only available from Assassin's Creed 1 to Assassin's Creed 3. And then his story ends. And then from there, you just kind of pick up as like other... other assassins, other random assassins in modern day, they're going through the Animus, or in some cases, employees of Abstergo, which is the modern day Templar organization, also going through, because they're both looking for these artifacts.
Right. Do they ever, in the game, do you ever find the artifacts?
Yes. So you do find, you find the Apple of Eden in Assassin's Creed 1, and then you re-find the Apple of Eden in Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood. Then you find the Staff of Adam in Revelations, and then there's a few other ones as you go forward. But for the most part, you almost find all of the artifacts.
Okay.
And then you lose them again at some point in history, where you have hidden them as your assassin self in this game. You go to that same spot in another game and go, where the fuck did it go? Like, who found this? Who moved my shit? Like, that's
right. Right. I know it's been 300 years, but seriously, it was supposed to just stay there.
Yeah, I will never find it again.
Now how am I supposed to find it? I got to go eavesdrop a bunch and then stab somebody in the neck.
Yeah, you just kind of, where did I put?
In the newer games, is the finger still gone?
No. So so in some of them, depending on the time frame of when they're set. So the first one, yes, there's another game called Assassin's Creed Mirage, which is set in the Middle East.
Okay.
And that one also, you lose your finger. Assassin's Creed Origins, you lose your finger. I have not played Odyssey or Valhalla, so I'm not sure. But in Assassin's Creed 2, you do have all of your appendages.
They
have reworked the design so that you don't have to lose a finger.
You don't have to lose a finger. It's also kind of a real easy way to tell an assassin out in the world.
Yeah.
You're like,
that's what I thought.
Right. You and your left hand don't have a ring finger. Though you could put a cap on it so that you ring wouldn't come off. So,
or just
like, if
wear
you
like
wanted
a glove.
Yeah, you could wear a glove with a fake finger attached to it. Ooh, fancy. Have the weapons changed besides the neck stabbing?
Yes, a lot of the weapons have changed. The Hidden Blade is pretty much the same, not the same weapon, but it's always available.
Sure.
It exists across all of the games. Oh,
guys,
my goodness, where did this coffee come from?
Carmen Morales, cameo, a previous episode of The Dork Forest, and no doubt future episode of The Dork Forest. So, yes, you've been given a coffee. Enjoy.
I have. Thank you. Take a sip of this right now.
I'll have a sip of my water.
Oh, that's
Rangers,
delicious.
You... get yourself a sip of something. Stay hydrated out there. I'm talking, by the way, with Bobby Sims, who is Conviction on Instagram and Twitch. And Conviction is spelled C-O-N-V-I-K-T-I-O-N. And you were talking about the new weapons. The weapons
Yes.
that aren't the stabby.
Yes. So I actually have two replicas on my wall up here. I wish I could
Nice.
Show you.
I wish you could as well.
they are too far up, and I didn't think about it until just now.
But there they are.
The design of the Hidden Blade changes. Exactly.
Okay.
The design of the Hidden Blade will change every once in a while. Of course, Altaïr's won't look like Ezio's because of completely different times. But then also kind of like their side weapons will change. In Assassin's Creed, Assassin's Creed 2, you have like more of a gun. That you can shoot. In Assassin's Creed Syndicate, you have like a crossbow that kind of latches onto the top. So
okay.
You have your blade here, and then on this part, you can hit a button, and you just see two kind of like arms shoot out, and then it's just like a little thing. You hit a button, and it shoots a dart. And then other ones, some of them don't, like, they have the Hidden Blade, but they end up using more of their own melee weapons. Jacob Fry in Assassin's Creed Syndicate, that's set in Victorian times. You run into Jack the Ripper at a certain point in the DLC of the game.
Okay.
But
and what's the name
of
the character? Yeah.
Jacob Fry.
Okay.
This is the game where you play as the twins, Jacob and Evie. Evie always uses her Hidden Blade. Jacob is a little bit more, like, loud and proud with his violence. So
yep.
He just has a Victorian-style cane that he beats the shit out of people with.
Does it have a blade inside the cane?
He can pull it out, and there's a hidden blade in his cane, but he doesn't wear it on his wrist. He beats you with the cane, and then he'll take the top off and then start walking again.
And then just walk away. What's the Victorian? So it's a British one where you're in London?
Yes.
Yep. That's the one with the twins?
Yes.
Okay. That one sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, people wearing top hats. There's some tails.
Jacob wears a top hat. Giant top hat. He has the nice long with the coattails, the vest, pocket watch, cane with a blade in it. He looks snazzy. I gotta say, he looks sharp.
It's a badass. It's a snazzy look. It's very dapper. Yeah. And then, but he also, without any morals, wandering around killing people.
Mm-hmm. Mutton chops too.
Oh, mutton chops. Very nice. That's where. Is he, when we come into that one, what's the, do you remember the, like, what's the conceit there? Is he just a Assassin's Guild Order of London?
Kind of. So what ends up happening there is Jacob and Evie end up being orphaned because the Templars kill their parents. So other assassins bring them into the Order and raise them as assassins. Evie takes the assassin side of it very seriously, where she works in the shadows and she usually sticks to the shadows. Jacob, who is also a bare knuckle boxer, is like, I like to be flashy and I like to be seen. So he's one that will start pushing like for riots and everything. And he'll be right out there in the front, like beating people up with the people that he brought with him. Like a mosh pit and like a metal concert. Meanwhile, Evie is jumping rooftops to actually get to the real target to take him out.
Okay, so he's just sort of fighting his way through the crowds.
Yeah, and she's like, I'll use you as a distraction and actually get to what we need to do.
And when they meet Jack the Ripper, they take him out?
Eventually. But there are quite a few twists and turns in that as well.
That's nice when there's a good plot to it.
Yeah, the plot in all of these games, they're very good. They're very well written. Again, they have enough historical accuracy in them to kind of tickle that knowledge portion of your brain. And they're all set at completely different times. They're mostly all set at completely different times. So like I'd said before, the first one set in Israel, the second one, two in Brotherhood are set in Italy, the third one set mainly in Istanbul. Third one is during the American Revolution. So Assassin's Creed 3 is during the American Revolution. So you meet Ben Franklin, you meet George Washington, you meet
John Hamilton, I would like to hear the dialogue written on that. Is it so are they working what are they still looking for the apple and the staff and the
Yes.
Okay, so they're looking for the revolution. Not their business.
It's really not. It's a great way of how they kind of tied it in. So the British are working with the Templars, and they're trying to get the Apple of Eden so that they can keep the colonies under the rule of the king. Okay, the assassins don't give a shit about the revolution either way, but they just don't want the king to be able to control everyone. So like, fuck
oh,
you.
So they're just, they're like, we just need to get the apple and hide it again.
Exactly. Because you can't destroy it. For some reason, you cannot destroy it.
I don't know if you know about the Garden of Eden, but it was made by God.
Yeah.
Anyway.
they're called the first civilization in this game, and there's a lot of backstory about the lore that will take another two episodes of the Dork Wars to get through all of it.
Well, you got almost 20 minutes left here. So
speed it. For that one, you play as a really cool character because you play as a character who is and I want to get this. I hope that I'm right about this. I believe he's half Mohawk and half British. Like, so his father's English and his mother is a native. She's an indigenous person. And he grows up with his tribe of indigenous people. So he gets pulled into all of this because he just wants to save his tribe.
Right.
And he ends up, he fights alongside the assassins and becomes part of the assassin order through taking out Templars who are trying to control the colonies.
Right.
The really cool part about Assassin's Creed 3 is that there's a DLC called The Tyranny of Washington, where it's an
alternative take. What does DLC stand for again?
Downloadable content.
Okay. But there's a DLC of what?
It's called The Tyranny of Washington. Okay. It's an alternate telling of our history where instead of George Washington becoming a president, he decides that he wants to be a king. And he uses the Apple of Eden to become king of the king of the colonies.
Right.
And you are Connor, which is the name of the assassin that you play in. He has a native name that I don't want to try and pronounce because I'm going to fuck it up completely. And,
right. No sweat. No problem.
But he has an English name, which is Connor. And so you're playing as Connor and you're trying to kill George Washington because he's been corrupted by the Apple of Eden.
Right. Right. Oh my gosh. That's just sort of a side mission or.
It's like an expansion.
An expansion. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, that makes perfect sense. Cool. Wow. Yeah. It was one of the greatest things in American history. The fact that George Washington was willing to stand down after two terms. Yeah. It's been a good run.
He was tired. Yeah. He was exhausted.
I saw Hamilton. I get it. Yeah. It's a, so that's three. That's mm-hmm. So what, do you, when you create in the ones where you got to create a character, is there mm-hmm. special, is there favorite things that you like to do or like, yeah, I have two questions. Let's start with that. Okay. There you go.
So for Odyssey and Valhalla, I haven't actually played them. Those are the two that I haven't played yet.
Right.
Which are the two that you can create characters with. For the most part, from what I've noticed with gameplay, is that you choose the gender of the character and the story is written for both genders. It's the same story.
Okay. Right.
And there's not really any kind of advantage or disadvantage of picking one gender over the other. So okay, it's like so completely equal that way.
Yeah, just wear a shirt. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. And then is there, since everyone's been waiting for this Japanese one, mm-hmm. What else are they waiting for? Space?
Oh. maybe. You know, I think that ever since Desmond was kind of introduced in Assassin's Creed 1 and expanded on in the Ezio Collection in Assassin's Creed 3, one of the things that everybody kind of really has been clamoring for is an Assassin's Creed that's actually set in the modern day.
Like Grand Theft Auto? Like,
kind of, yeah. Like, how would that be handled? Would we still be using hidden blades? Would we switch to snipers on hills? Like, how exactly would that
be done? Yeah.
Exactly. So, I feel like that would be pretty cool to come up with. Especially if they figure out a way to make it so that it doesn't feel like Grand Theft Auto or Saints Row.
Right. Yeah, it would have, because that's what it would, because those two games have the same, shall we say, moral ambiguity.
Exactly.
And they are also M's. So wait till you are an M. There are some children listen to the show, so you guys, and so the. But I will say that I like the idea. So the latest date that anyone's, has there ever been a steampunk one? Like, what if there's dirigibles and giant typewriters and blunderbusses? What do you think?
I would love that personally. The closest that we have to that is the Victorian, which is not very close at all. I mean, somewhat like wardrobe-wise, but it would be really cool to have I would love a steampunk one.
Yeah, steampunk would be pretty cool.
Just the hood, but the giant welding goggles too.
yeah, just giant Amelia Earhart. Everyone's just wandering around wearing Amelia Earhart. And then... Yeah. So what is it? So is it still on Xbox? Is it, what's the console system?
Oh, sure. So, they are on Xbox. So now the newest version of the Xbox is the Xbox Series S or Series X, depending on if you want a disc. They are releasing games for that. I believe that Odyssey and Valhalla were released for the One. Valhalla might have been released for the Series X as like a remaster. Assassin's Creed Mirage and Shadows, which are the two latest ones, they were released on the Xbox Series X and S, and also the PlayStation. And I think that Shadows also released on PC.
Okay. What's the Mirage? What's that one?
So Mirage, you're playing as one of the very first assassins in the Middle East.
Okay.
And it's kind of like a throwback to how the old Assassin's Creed games were. So I keep throwing out names. There's Assassin's Creed, Assassin's Creed 2, Brotherhood, Revelations 3, Rogue 4, aka Assassin's Creed Black Flag, which you play as a pirate. A lot of fun in the Caribbean.
What? Yes. Yeah,
I'm biased because I am half Puerto Rican. So I'm like, yeah, Caribbean. Let's go. after Black Flag, there was Unity, Syndicate. I might be forgetting one in between those. Then there's Origins, Odyssey, Valhalla, Mirage, Shadows. So,
okay,
I lost count, but
right,
there's quite a
many.
Few.
Right, there's a lot.
A lot of assassins. But I forgot the question now. Sorry. So from Origins up until Mirage, the games became a lot more like an RPG. Like a lot more character tree building and,
okay,
you know, this area is locked, or this area is not locked, but there's no way that you would survive if you would be seen by an enemy in this area and everything like that.
Okay.
So I kind of moved away from them a little bit with that, just because it became less of assassinate your targets and more of you need to build gold weapons so that you can take out your targets.
Right, which is a different game. That's a different. You're just a miner. Yeah, when you have to chop down. It was it was one of the things with Animal Crossing that made me stop doing it, because I'm like, I'm not collecting. I'm done planting fruit trees. I'm done. I'm good. And I liked it. I had a very good time playing it for 6 months, and then it was a dollhouse that I didn't want to play with anymore. So that's all well and good. And then here is my, I don't know, I don't have a lot more questions about this, just because. Because now I'm caught in. I would want there to be some sort of either a time machine where the assassins are like, we're going to go back in time. When the golden ball is first discovered or created or something like that. And whoever creates it, we're going to kill them. And we're going to bury it so deep in this volcano, we're not going to have this problem anymore. And, which of course
everybody get in the DeLorean. Let's do this shit.
Or everyone goes, there's no back in time. You just essentially you tell the story of how the golden apple was invented. That'd be kind of a cool.
Yeah. So there's a good amount of lore that actually does kind of tell you how the artifacts are created. But not in an active storytelling kind of way. It's more you pick up bits of information throughout the games through codex and glitches in the Animus system. And you can learn that way. And then through cutscenes, you'll actually meet a lot of what are called like the first civilizations or the ones who came before.
Right.
Which, again, it's just kind of like a cool nod. Are gods from other mythologies. So you end up talking to the goddess Juno and Minerva and Athena and Krishna and Vishnu and all gods from a lot of different cultures, were actually part of what was called the first civilization. And they built these artifacts, and they gave them to the first humans, which they had named Adam and Eve.
Okay.
And essentially they would control the first generation of humans with these artifacts. But Adam and Eve broke away from the mind control, the artifacts, and then escaped. And they were like the beginning of the Assassin's Order.
Okay, that's awesome. I love that. That's a much better telling of the Adam and Eve story. I thought so too. It's almost from the point of view of the serpent. It's just like, you're being mind controlled. You're just being mind controlled. If you could not be mind controlled, what would you do? What would you do with your life? And then good things happen, but then every now and then the mind control tries to come back in and control you up again. Mm-hmm. That turned into a really interesting backstory here in the 55th minute. Holy smokes.
See, that'd be fun to get into. But again, we just don't have time this episode.
Yeah, we just don't have time to tell you. But if there's, there's a science fiction series that I read. It's about immortality and and time travel. So it's about a corporation who invents immortality, but has to invent time travel to see if it works.
Oh.
Because otherwise they'd have to wait around forever.
Yeah.
And so they have to go back in time and do it because they can only do it on babies. And so they do it on a baby in like Neanderthal time. And then they come back to like 1997 or whatever. And they're like, oh, that didn't work. But he's still here. Oh, it's got a glitch in it. There's a bug. Turns out he's a madman. That's unfortunate.
You're going to have to give me the name of that story. That sounds pretty damn intriguing. I want to read that later.
It's the Company series by Cage Baker. Cage with a K.
Oh, okay.
Another
quick tangent. Have you read any of the Babaverse?
No. What's the Babaverse?
So the Babaverse is a series of books. I want to say they were written by Dennis Taylor, but I could be wrong about that. They are a list of books where this Dennis E. Taylor. I was right. Look at that. It's a series of books about this guy named Bob who he ends up getting this like kind of insurance that this company upon his death, this company can actually take his brain and cryogenically like. Not freeze it, but they can upload it into like a computer so that his conscious can live on.
Right.
And about 2 days after that happens, he gets hit by a car and dies. And he wakes up about 500 years later in a lab hooked up to a machine, and he becomes a von Neumann probe that is then launched into space and starts self-replicating. And
what's the name of the probe?
A von Neumann probe, or von Neumann probe, I think it is.
Okay.
It's essentially, it's like an AI-driven space station, for lack of a better term. Like a very minimal space station that it launches itself to a specific point, scans the data around it, builds another version of itself, and then launches that one to another place.
Okay.
So it replicates its conscious and its, like, sentience so that it can essentially map out all of the galaxies and universes.
Right. And it sends the information back to Earth?
No, because by the time that he starts creating these probes, Earth is gone. from nuclear fallout, pretty much. He's launched up there to actually see if he can find a place that is inhabitable for humans. So he tries to, like, they all end up on, like, spaceships, and he starts relaying messages to the ships. But then there's still, like, a space race going on with, like, other countries that also launched probes. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. It gets intense. I think that you might like it.
Okay. Yeah, I've written it down. Bob Overse. I take it it's B-O-B Overse.
Yes.
Okay.
B-O-B-I-V-E-R-S-E. Bob Overse.
Bob Overse. All right, Bob. Well, you should be happy to know that we're pretty much at an hour. Unless, what would you recommend if somebody wanted to start playing the game? Like, do you think if they got into it now, would it be worth it to go back to one?
I definitely think so. Just to kind of see how, like, where it all started from.
But right, you're a completist. I forgot about that.
I am. I will say the most popular games are also like my favorite ones in the series, which would be the Ezio Collection. The Ezio Collection has been remastered for the Xbox One and the Xbox Series S, just because people want those games. They are probably the quintessence of Assassin's Creed games, or at least old school Assassin's Creed games in most people's opinions. If you don't want to go back that far, I've heard extremely good things about Odyssey and Valhalla.
Okay, which might be a good place to start if you were going to get in the middle. Yeah, see if you really liked it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I want to start with the Victorian one. So
yeah, Syndicate. Syndicate's a good one. another quick piece of information that you might also find pretty funny. In Assassin's Creed 2 and in Brotherhood, you assassinate the Pope.
Twice. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wait, two different popes?
Or
he's part of the undead. One of the things are happening there. I'm going to go two popes. I'm sure, because the Pope is constantly trying to get a hold of the golden apple so he can control people. So he's going to be in the way. How does the Catholic Church feel about this game?
I haven't looked it up.
Fair enough. No worries. You guys, we have been talking with Bobby Sims, and it's all Assassin's Creed all the time. Holy smokes. Thank you so much for doing the show, Bobby.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me. This was fun.
Awesome. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
Hi, Adal. How was the show?
Well, it was with our friend Bobby Sims. Oh, yeah.
Bobby Sims. He's a good guy.
He's his handle is Conviction with a K. On Twitch and Instagram. And I am with people. I like to say, what would you want to dork out about?
Right. And he chose
Assassin's Creed immediately and emphatically. And then we talked about it for an hour. It was delightful.
That's awesome. That's great. I bet he was easy to talk to, too.
It was easy. Plug and play. Always nice. And then I, of course, have never played it, but I guess it's by the same people. You'll know this.
I do.
As a video game, you'll know a lot about this. But it's by the Prince of Persia people.
That team. Yep.
Ubisoft.
Yep. Ubisoft is the publisher, but I think it's actually the same team that made the original one, but I'm not sure about the most recent ones.
Oh, yeah. There's something like 13 of them.
Yeah, there's a ton. There's a ton of them.
Right. And he's played all of them up to when you could make your own avatar.
Did you know that they are time travel stories?
I did not know. Wait, he did say that there was a guy. There was some descendant who named Miles Standish. Not true. Desmond Miles. And he is somehow linked. And he keeps, and he sometimes speaks in old-timey words because the Assassin Order and the Templar language. I want to do the Victorian one. There's a Victorian one. Did you know?
I'm not surprised.
Closest to steampunk that they come. How great would it be? A steampunk Assassin's whatever.
Yeah.
Creed. Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
He says it's morally ambiguous. There's no good guys.
I mean, you are assassins.
You're assassins, but you're assassins against Templars, and the Templars aren't the good guys either.
Right. Sure.
Because he says that the Templars want this golden apple so that they can make everybody follow the rules, and the assassins want the apple so there are no rules.
I think the apple might be a metaphor.
For
just rule following?
All I I know is that there seems to be a bunch of guys without a ring finger who walk around and jab people with a knife.
The Shockers?
Well, we can wrap it up here. This has been great. It's been another bonus episode with Andy Ashcraft. You guys, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat, my hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?